you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
That's me, John Forward, on the radio for the show. It's 9 o'clock on Monday. I'm live here at local FM for St. John Forward Radio. I'm just going to get into it a little quickly, I guess. Good show at McGill's this past weekend, No Jokes Barred. Great turnout, pretty much a packed house. All of the seats in the main room were taken up. Always good to see. So anyway, that's been going well. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. Good show was good. The end. That's all you need to know. More importantly, as the runner of a show called No Jokes Barred, the people of the earth are looking to me for my commentary on all this news about offensive comedy that's coming up lately. So the people are clamoring for my opinion. We're gonna get into it a little bit. I'm a little bit behind the ball on this, but Dave Chappelle's newest special, Sticks and Stones. If you've been on the internet over these past few weeks, you've probably heard how it is single-handedly just destroying society, and that it needs to be avoided at all costs. Lots of articles and blog posts. Vice.com in particular had an article that was titled something along the lines of "You Can Skip the New Dave Chappelle Special." Talked about how not funny and offensive and bigoted and all of those words it was, which, you know, I'm not going to begrudge these people for writing their dumb articles about things, but, you know, just the kind of call to action, like, don't watch it, is kind of a different thing that I don't recall seeing previously. Which, on the one hand, you know, fine. If you don't like something, then send a message to Netflix. Don't add to the viewing numbers. If nobody watches it, then maybe this trash will not be made anymore. That's fine. I'm all for the free market. It's kind of ridiculous to write an article about how outrageous something is and then just your whole point be like, we watched it, here's your opinion, don't bother making up your own mind, the end. Like, that's not good cultural commentary. Like, whatever your opinion is, if your point is, you know, we watched it so you didn't have to, here's your point, here's your opinion, don't bother. That's kind of ridiculous. And you know, I watched the special, and it covers some of the sacred topics that that people get upset about, but I didn't find it particularly offensive. Like, nothing, you know, I'm super woke in the comedy community, but by comparison. But, you know, watching it, there wasn't anything where I was like, oh, like, I wasn't tugging my shirt collar at all. It just seems to be the certain topics are brought up, and it doesn't really matter what you say about those topics unless it's just across the board bravery, and just unless it's just completely fluff. I don't think there's any way that you can have any kind of an angle on race or like gender issues and all that stuff. I don't think there's any way to say anything about it other than like 100% on board with the most soft version of, I don't know. I didn't like the special as much as the last two. I still liked it. It just, I don't know. I don't think it's his best. And it's not because I was offended. I just happened to, and it might have just been my experience. The last few were more of a, we've been waiting for this for a long time, and this one was, you know, more. It was good. And even an okay Dave Chappelle special is still better than most other people's specials. So I'm not.
You were watching it at an abortion clinic, that's why.
Yeah. I was in a much better mood when I watched it in that setting. So, the graphic that's been going around, like originally it was 31% on Rotten Tomatoes was the critical rating, 99% audience, which shows you what the disconnect is between like the internet commentators and the real world. And then there was a graphic comparing that to Hannah Gadsby's Nanette, 100% Rotten Tomatoes critical darling, 54% audience, which since people started sharing that that graphic around, I think people have piled on to Rotten Tomatoes to beat up on the rating a bit more. I think it's down to like 31% today. But you know, when that started going around, it was 54, which you know, I didn't mind Nanette for what it was. It was a fine one woman show. It is not the future of comedy. I didn't watch it as a comedy special. It was a thing. It would have been a pretty decent fringe festival show, and that's what it is. I don't think it's the future of comedy. I'm not as upset about it as some people, but I don't know. It is pretty telling the huge difference between the critical reaction and people actually watching it. You know, and I get it. If I'm writing a thing on the internet, it's probably a fair assumption that, that outrage is going to get more clicks than anything else. But, much stranger is when the comedians themselves, even some local people that nobody asked, just, they add to the pile on for some reason. I'm not sure exactly what they hope to gain from it.
Well, I'm glad they could take time out of their cocaine binges to look up from the table and tweet out something sort of pithy and inane, but go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, there are comedians around here that, you know, they talk about that kind of stuff a lot, and, you know, a bit of woke outrage would be pretty on brand, but When comedians that are generally pretty apolitical just decide to chime in out of nowhere, it just seems weird.
Do you have an example of some, no. Like a quote maybe?
No.
No.
But, and not specifically. I don't want to throw shit, talk trash to anybody specific. You know who you are. They're not listening anyway. I don't like throwing around the term virtue signaling, because I don't know, that's kind of a conversation ender, and it doesn't have a real strict definition. I think most of the people that use it do a fair amount of virtue signaling of their own. It just happens to be virtues on the other end of the spectrum. That
what they
signaling.
Mean when someone says virtue signaling is that it's the equivalent of someone calling someone pretentious, which is basically a way of calling someone a liar. When you accuse someone of virtue signaling, you're essentially saying you don't believe the thing that you're saying. You're actually lying to me. That's what being called pretentious actually is. Well, is you're accusing
is a
the other person?
Thing. Virtue signaling, I take it as
the undercurrent is the
how,
same.
Look at how right I am about things. Which, even if they believe it, is still kind of a gross thing. So, but I think it's also, just by strict definition of the words and how I understand it, I think it's just as much a virtue signal to be like, these damn PC, sure. Whatever. It's just, it's a different virtue that
it's
you're
called
signaling.
Vice signaling. It's the opposite of it. It's the bizarro cousin of it. But anyway, go on.
So anyway, I stating an opinion that has anything to do with morality, especially when nobody asked you, I think is a virtue signal, including this monologue that you're listening to right now. But I don't know. In this case, it just seems like a desperate plea to seem hip and relevant, and it doesn't strike me as particularly genuine. So if I'm accusing them of being full of shit, then okay, then the label applies. One guy I'm thinking of in particular, offended by Chappelle's special on one social media account and then posting about this awesome, sweet bootleg of a Nazi exploitation film on another account that doesn't have his name on it. Another guy complaining.
Does he have any observations about the Kingston Peninsula, perhaps? I think maybe a few. Yeah.
Another guy complaining about Bill Burr's special, which not even the internet outrage machine really had much to say about that one. So this is doubling down on something even the internet can't be bothered with. Both of these people that I'm referring to have behaved badly in the real world beyond saying mean words into a microphone. So it's just odd that this is the hill they want to die on. One of the points I'm seeing a lot of on Facebook is just the supposed hypocrisy of these millionaire comedians on a huge platform like Netflix talking about how they can't say what they want anymore. And I see what you're going for there, but that's also kind of admitting that the outrage is a fake thing. But most of the real people that don't work on the internet really don't care about this stuff. Not one person in my life has had any outrage finding out that I saw Louis C.K. at Skankfest in June. One of these two gentlemen talking smack about current comedy specials, I had a conversation about seeing Louis in New York, and they were very excited about it and a little bit jealous, so it's a weird turn to make. Like Chappelle, Bill Burr, Louis, they've got a ton of money, and that's the thing, though. They're big enough that they don't really need to worry about being fired. They're filling seats, and they're kind of untouchable, and, you know, even if they stop getting booked, they can still take a chance, because they're not going to be out on the street tomorrow, but they still need to worry about the internet trying to get them canceled. Just because it was not successful doesn't mean that it's not there. They're pretty safe, but, if big websites are posting everything that they can do to stoke the fire and get these people fired and get their specials pulled, and it didn't work, but they still tried. And, you know, that's a thing that's happening in the world, and if you're a comedian, you're supposed to comment on stuff that's happening in the world. And, the rich guys can get away with it. Also, low-level New Brunswick amateur comedians, nobody cares what we do either. And when they do, it's all behind your back, and maybe you don't get asked to do a show or whatever. There's no real process. But even moderately bigger Halifax, there was a big outrage about some throwaway comments on a podcast a little while ago, and that was a big fuss. But there's people in the middle that aren't like the low-level nobodies like us, and they aren't like the big-shot millionaire comedians, and they do need to be worried. Anybody that's on their way up needs to be really worried that their career can be cut short on the way up. Maybe not completely, but they don't have the same safety net to weather the storm if things do go bad. We're going to talk about it some more with my guest, Arif Hussein, here. But Shane Gillis, a comedian that I mostly know from his guest appearances on the Legion of Skanks podcast, and Arif caught his set at Skankfest when we were there in June, recently was announced as a cast member on Saturday Night Live. Didn't last very long, though, so we'll talk about that after the break. But anyway, let's play a quick song, and then we'll come back with Arif and talk some Shane Gillis. And here's an Open Mic Eagle song called "Woke as Me," which I'm not sure. I don't even know if it's a joke. It's hard to tell.
Is it recently?
Yeah, it's from the soundtrack to some show called The New Negroes that he does with Baron Vaughn, who I've heard of but not super familiar with. But anyway, song's funny. Here it is.
Yo, sleepyhead ass. Yo, bedhead ass. You been sleep all morning. You sleeping in a motherfucker. Nigga, sing you a lullaby.
You say you woke, bro. I say supposedly. You ain't nowhere near as woke as you supposed to be. Man, you telling jokes. Fool, you so asleep. Bro, you might be woke. You just ain't woke as me. He say he woke, but he ain't woke enough. I'm dropping facts to make his third eye open up. He's still in mental jail. I see him tail spinning. His woke frail. He can't even see his male privilege. Carbon footprint small, man, I kinda doubt it.
Real woke brothers live in tiny houses. I ain't never been sleep, it's excruciating. I've been woke so long, I'm hallucinating. You say you woke, you just pretend to do it. I'm keeping all my pronouns gender fluid. Your mind is not open, you probably not voting. You throw away whole roaches, homie, we composting. I bet you think it's rumors, homie need a tutor. I'ma prove he's still sleep, he ain't deleted Uber. Had the crown, I'ma take it from you. I wear him drawers and biodegradable shoes. I know the planet fucked up and how it got that way. I only flush my toilet once every goddamn day. I'm fucking woke.
You say you woke, bro? I say supposedly. You ain't nowhere near as woke as you supposed to be. Man, you telling jokes.
Yeah.
Fool, you so asleep.
Yeah.
Bro, you might be woke, you just ain't woke as me.
Trying to beat me in a woke off and get broke off. No jokes, you don't want no smoke with this woke Tom Brokaw. Your neighborhood vegan weed dealer, but I also sell books. I don't just rock the bells, I rock the bell hooks. In all lowercase, say her name, show her face. I've been body positive, me and my hoes is overweight. Gentrifying all your hoods, your taxes gotta be murder. Come through your cookout with kale and impossible burgers. Shout out to the white girls if you're trying to see me. I got a biracial son, named him Ta-Nehisi. One of my top 10 hitters in the barbershop fit right in with us. Mom wanna know why he's so pro-black. What's more pro-black than a light-skinned nigga? Intersectional, been that. On your mark, now let's get set. I've been yelling out Sidset. Since Harlem, yelling out Dipset. Say this and I'm moving on. You thought toxic masculinity was a new cologne. Nigga, you was wrong. I'm the antidote. My life's so botanical. Green party and I vote. And I grow. Man, oh man, goddamn, I'm woke.
We're back on St. John Forward Radio, and you're not as woke as us. That's right. So, Arif, you've been following the story closely. Do you want to give us a quick summary of the kind of what happened? When did this get announced? Thursday?
Well, he found out on Wednesday when he was a that he was going to be a cast member. The announcement got made on Friday afternoon, and by Monday afternoon. Oh, and he got, yeah, it was announced around 4 our time, Friday afternoon. And then by around 5:30, there was a improv comedian in LA who had already started going through Shane Gillis's
is this the
Twitter.
Seth Simons. His Twitter says, you don't get to be a freelance newsletter-based comedy labor journalist without making a few enemies. He's got a check mark.
Yeah, I think you...
He's a guy that writes stuff on the internet for whoever will buy it.
Yeah, a blue check mark is mostly now an indication of an imbecile personality that managed to fool Twitter.
Yeah.
That's what it seems to represent.
So... And, I got a mess. I was getting the updates from you on Facebook Messenger throughout the whole thing. You'd told me when we found out that that he was announced as a cast member, which was surprising because he's like I said, I mostly know him from Legion of Skanks appearances, and he's super super funny. I remember you saying specifically how good he was at Skankfest. I never caught his set.
He was awesome.
Most recently, I heard him on the Legion of Skanks podcast, where they went onto the dark web looking for a boy to buy.
Yeah, yeah, it was a hilarious bit, absolutely hilarious.
So yeah, right away you were like, yeah, this isn't going to last long, and then within a couple hours, you're like, yep, this guy's digging through it already.
Yeah, this guy, Seth Simons, his contribution to comedy is on the internet, and his one great contribution is him doing a poetry made up of entirely bird sounds, okay, where for about 5 minutes he just makes bird sounds, or different kinds of birds doing poetry.
Is it as good as the bird playing the keyboard at the end of that that album that it made you listen to on the way to New York?
No, not quite. It didn't quite reach the cringe levels of that, but Yeah, and
so he as soon as the announcement hit, this guy is like, oh, here's my time to shine. I'm gonna start pouring through podcasts and see what we can find.
Basically, and when I found out about it, my thing, listen, my position on SNL is very simple. I think it's a toothless comedy show aimed at the most mediocre of sensibilities right now in 2019, and any attachment that most comics have to SNL has got nostalgia value because of Colin Quinn, Norm Macdonald, Will Ferrell, Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I grew up on it.
Tracy Morgan. And everyone has to remember, most of those people, all of those people did all of their best work outside of SNL. And now the only reason to watch SNL is for Michael Che. Honestly, that's the only reason that...
I started watching it again. I dropped off a while ago. I think Colin Quinn was doing Weekend Update when I stopped watching. I was not around for the Tina Fey and Seth Moore. What's his name?
Seth Meyers.
I came back on like 3 or 4 years ago, and I have been watching it. I haven't been loving it, but there's usually at least one or two sketches that makes it worth it, and I just skip through anything that I don't like. And Weekend Update's usually pretty good. You don't like Pete Davidson, but I like his pieces on Weekend Update. And there's the occasional good sketch, but it's not complete trash, but it's interesting just because it's live, and I don't know.
Shane Gillis was doing SNL a favor by being on the cast. He was going to add something that had a little bit of, a spine, comedy that had a little bit of.
Right, but just as a performer, though, like he's not really a sketch guy. Can you picture him?
Yes, he has. Okay. He has been. There are a few sketches of him online.
Okay.
That he's done that are very good. That he's very funny. He plays that character of a big dumb oaf perfectly well. And
Well, and he's got a thick Philly accent, which. Yeah. Right out the gate, I want to not like him as soon as he starts talking, but he's just, I find him endearing, and I've always found him funny when I hear him on Legion of Skanks.
Yeah, there's something strange, and there's a weird, there's that sort of bizarre quality where you don't know what...
Like he seems like a dumb jock.
Yeah.
Meathead.
But you'll want to like him anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and...
So, well, let's play a clip, and again... Trigger warnings and all that. We're playing this for evaluation purposes. We don't condone the shocking statements made in this podcast.
Hey, speak for yourself, man. I, on the other hand,
Local FM does not endorse this. We're playing it for evaluation purposes. On the other hand, though. So Seth Simmons posts, today SNL announced the hiring of its first cast member of East Asian descent, and also this guy. So I don't know if he was specifically looking for Asian stuff. Just be like, oh, they hired an Asian. Let's find some Asian
stuff.
No, this
was a clip off of his Matt and Shane secret podcast that I'd been listening to for the past 8 months. Hilarious podcast. That this was just a clip from one of their
All right, so this is 2 minutes. Again, you'll be shocked to your core, so be warned if there's any children listening. Please stab them in the ears with Q-tips. All right, so anyway, sorry, here it is.
Who are you apologizing to?
I don't know.
Who the hell are you apologizing to?
This is a safe space radio station.
There's and I no want to respect here. It's the just terms. You and me. What are they going to kick us off of campus already? Who are they going to fill Maybe. This over here?
Maybe. It's possible. But anyway, we're talking about a thing. So let's
Which
hear
other
let's
idiot
hear
are
first.
They going to fill in with like Grand Theft Bus for an hour and a half?
We'll just throw on repeats. Anyway, let's listen.
Damn, Chinatown's fucking nuts.
It's crazy.
It is full fucking China. Dude, it's fucking Chinese down there.
I wonder how that started. They just built one fucked up looking building and people were like, all right, no one said anything.
Let the fucking chinks live there, huh?
Well, they built these fucking like huge Shanghai houses. The first one must have infuriated everyone. They were like,
I'm pissed
what
now.
The
I go
fuck?
Down there, I'm like, what are you guys doing here? Get these ducks out of that window.
You know what? Yeah, true. Also, I'm always like, how can there be so many fucking restaurants down here?
All restaurants. Well, because...
You go in, there's like one person eating ever.
Fat white idiots like me are down there sucking down neuters.
I hate China. I hate the food at Chinatown. Sucks. Chinese food's a very dishonest cuisine.
I don't even want to think about it.
They invented a fucking chemical to put in their food to make it delicious, dude.
It is.
They made MSG.
Good for them.
It's a dishonest food, dude. There's nothing to it. It's shitty meat, a chemical they made up to fuck your body up, and neuters.
The neuters are fucking
cheapest thing in the world.
We got
chemical.
Sick.
Worst meat you can find.
We got in there and we sat down, and baby girl was like, "I'm so excited for neuters," and I was like, "Yo, chill." She was like, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry."
She said neuters.
Yeah. And there's a fucking and it's full fucking Chinese in there. It's like, and it's such
Isn't that kind of like nice though? Isn't that being like when people go into like a Mexican restaurant, like, "I'll have two tacos." Like, I'll have a bowl of spicy neuters.
But we had, and the translation between you and the waiter.
Yeah.
It's just such a fucking hassle. It's like, I'm pointing at it. Like, this is the fucking neuter.
Well, that's why I put number for like 57.
Yeah, this one, even with the fucking shit. I was like, that sauce. That. And she's like, yes. She's like, yeah, that one. She's like, yeah. She's like, a medium or a spicy?
Yeah.
She's like, medium. She's like, spicy. Like, no, medium. No medium. Spicy. Yeah.
All right. So my first thing that I think is obviously, like, if you write...
This is every conversation you've had with me in the car to every comedy gig.
Now, like, when you take those words and type them out and put them in an article, it sounds pretty bad.
Still hilarious, though.
But, like, that's what I'm wondering. Does anybody listen to that, and does it read as actual "I hate Asian people" racism to anybody, or are we just desensitized because we're kind of immersed in comedy?
There's an old, I don't know who this is from, but I'm gonna steal it anyway. It's because a sense of humor and common sense are exactly the same thing. A sense of humor is basically just common sense dancing. The people who are actually upset by this do not have a sense of humor, and they don't have any common sense. You can clearly hear them joking about it. They know that that these are two people having a conversation about a Chinese restaurant. There is no obvious.
An actual bigot. Like, even in that clip, which is probably the most damning thing this guy could dredge up. Even in that bit, he talks about his girlfriend being in the restaurant and saying neuters and being like, chill, like, don't say that. That's a like, he's almost saying, like, that's offensive. Don't say that. We're in public.
Oh, but
on a podcast, you're just...
You're parsing this thing for these people who do have no interest. You brought up the point earlier about them saying this weirdness of them going... Vice Magazine saying... not only do we not like it, you shouldn't go watch it. Now, that's not a weird sensibility if you consider yourself as the high priest of culture. Do you know what? That's what these people think of themselves
as. When I was as deep into the Christianity as I was...
In fact, that they're worse than Christians. Because at least Christians have a sense of forgiveness. At least they have that in them. At least it's in the theology. Whatever you might think of religious sensibilities, at least they have...
Even when I was 17 years old at Bible camp, it still rubbed me odd, like, when I would get scolded for listening to secular music. Like, I put on, like, a Foo Fighters song or something that didn't have any swears in it, and, like, people got upset that I was listening to this song that was not specifically about praising Jesus. Like, I could almost get why, like, don't listen to, like, Slayer and, like, actively anti-Christian satanic stuff. I could almost get it, but they're just this weird dogma that you can only listen to the stuff that falls into this category. It always, even when I was full-on Christian, rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, these people are fanatics. And what is the original etymology for the word fanatic is someone who is stuck in a temple and can't get out. That's what these people are. They're complete fanatics. They're just locked in this temple of the theology of whatever they think their, you know, woke ideology is.
Yeah.
You know, so not only can I not listen to it, you can't listen to it. And I'll tell you what, these people are liars. They're not virtue signals. They're just straight up liars. They know that he's not either a racist or a homophobe.
If there's anybody on earth that listens to that and thinks this guy hates Asian people.
No.
There's another clip where they're having a similar conversation, and at one point they're like, that's some good racism there. Awesome racism. Like, it's, racists don't talk like that.
It's burn the heretic mentality, man. And that's all this is.
Like in an article, like, quote, that's some good racism there. As if this is damning evidence. Like, obviously. Like, look, he loves racism. It's nonsense. And there's been articles and tweets pouring out all weekend. What the hell? This guy should be... Well, Saturday Night Live, you're a beacon of whatever. You gotta... Oh, God, get rid of him. And they weren't commenting. Part of me was hoping that maybe this would be the tide turning, and maybe just once they'll be like... We're a comedy show, and it's just jokes. Settle down.
So the tide might be turning for people who don't care about their opinions. Like Bill Burr and Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. don't care about their opinions. The reason why they went so hard in on Shane Gillis is because they know until last week Shane Gillis was living with roommates in an apartment in Queens. You were in Queens. He lives in the same neighborhood.
Boiled bananas for breakfast.
Probably, man. You know, the guy has bad credit. He like lives in, you know, he's in friggin' still in student loan debt. So the reason why they can go after him is because he's a soft target. You know what I mean? He needed the approval, or at least the money that SNL would give him.
He can't.
Dave Chappelle doesn't care about that.
He can't do
opinion.
A Dave Chappelle mic drop. All right, I'm going to Africa.
Yeah, see you later. Yeah, he can't do that just yet, right?
So we'll continue talking about this, but let's do a quick station ID. And let's play a clip of, just for comparison's sake, we'll play an actual written, performed stand-up set from Shane Gillis. And just because, again, that's a podcast, which I want to talk about when we come back, kind of, the difference between making a speech, having a conversation, having a podcast, having an open mic set, having like a showcase set, having like a televised TV set. There's different.
All of the standards. People who are upset about that had that conversation secretly. That's why they went after him. It's to absolve themselves.
All right. So let's hear Shane Gillis, What Every Country Song Is About, after this brief word from Brian Godso.
I need a Godso pop. All right, I got this.
Brian Godso, star power. Brian Godso.
You're listening to St. John Ford Radio, 107.3 FM. Come and get it, because it's hot.
It is hot.
I know. I just moved to New York this year, and yeah, it's all right. New York's all right. It's nice. I like it more than I thought I would, but I just found out I was fat. I'm 31. I just this year found out that I was a fat guy. I'm from a white trash enough town that this was killing it. People back home see me, they're like, what's your fucking secret? I'm like, oh, I'm just hanging out, man. It's mostly hanging out. And then, I don't know, I moved to Philly first. I lived in Philly for like 2 years. Yeah, go birds. And then, but it was funny because I moved like from a white trash town to Philly like right during the presidential election. you pussies. No, but it was funny because like that was a big jump. I went from like an all white trash town to the city where now all my new friends were like real woke, and that was like because if this was my hometown, someone could just walk in here in full camouflage and sit down, and you'd be like, "That's a fucking good outfit." You trying to get pussy in here tonight, dude? Come on, man. You're going full camo at Clusterfest. All right. Like, everybody I grew up with listens to country music. And I don't, but I get it. Like, I understand why white people like it. You know? Like, you can relate to it. You can understand all the lyrics. You don't need to Google what a nay-nay is. I don't know if you know this. Every country song's just about exactly what a white guy's doing at that moment. It's like, I turn the radio up. It's like, yeah, fuck yeah. That's good. That's music. That's what I like. I get it. You can relate to it. I ride around. I listen to rap. That's all I listen to. I can't relate to one fucking song. I just ride around by myself, bob my head, just like, I beat the pussy up. Just like, I don't know if I beat it up. Like, I'm like, I'll shadowbox the pussy. I've never knocked it out. Everyone's knocking out pussies. I've never knocked it out. I'm more like Floyd Mayweather with a pussy. Very technical. Very defensive. That's all I listen to. I just ride around, listen to people brag about how good they are at sex. I don't think I've ever made a girl make a sound with my dick. Except like when I lay on them at first and they're like, oh. That's it, just, oh, Jesus, mister. Yeah, good. So that's where I'm from. And then I moved to the city. And here, let me lose you again real quick. It was right during the presidential election. And it was funny because all my friends went from like white trash to, like I said, woke. And they were all like, did you guys all vote Democrat? Did anybody here vote? Do you guys remember how like confident you guys were? Going into that last one? You remember that? A little borderline arrogant going into that. All right. Don't let it cost you again. No, I relax. Relax. I did not vote for him. Yeah, fuck yeah. No, I actually did not vote for him, which that was tough. Look at me. His whole campaign was at me. I was watching TV. He was like, are you a fucking fat idiot? I was like, yeah, dude. Yeah, what are we doing? What the fuck are we doing, dude? We're building walls? Hell yeah. I took skull out of my mouth to come up here. And I didn't vote for Donald Trump. Makes me like the Nelson Mandela of central Pennsylvania. I don't know. You guys are all right. I want you guys to know, though, I do have black friends. No, it's nice having black friends when the rest of your friends are just fucking goofy white guys. It's nice. You get some outside perspective, some advice. You just gotta be careful of the advice you take from your black friends when it comes to, like, sex. When you look like Uncle Buck, it doesn't translate. Like, this is the advice my friend gave me when I went on a date with this chick. He was like, hey, yo, Shane, you don't want to go too deep in the pussy. She's always gonna want the dick. So you're worried about depth? Like, depth is a problem? I didn't know they had depth. I'm just happy to be there. You're worried about, like, depth is an issue? He's like, you don't want to give her the whole dick. I'm like, that's all I have. What are you talking about? I've never been, like, halfway in and been like, oh, oop. You got to earn the rest of this dick. That's insane. Depth? That's crazy. I'm worried about, like, the noises I'm making. Like, I just sound like a shitty ghost the whole time. It's almost done. Fucking depth. Or my face? You ever worry about your face when you're fucking? Don't do it. Don't think about how dumb you look. You'll end up looking like a fucking psycho trying to look handsome the whole time. It's not good. It's worse for me if I let it go. Like, if I just let my face go during sex, like, I look like Brandon Dassey from Making a Murderer, the whole just... The girl's down there, she's like, did you do it? I'm like, I don't know. Yeah.
Racist and misogynist, Shane Gillis on St. John Forward Radio.
I mean, the best of... When you've got the best of both worlds, why not, right?
So, yeah, and that was at the Anti-Skank Fest, Cluster Fest. That was a big Comedy Central industry thing. And that set that he did there probably was a step on the way to getting Saturday Night Live.
Probably, yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, that's not like again. He's not using the C word, like the one for Asian people.
Clusterfest.
I'm not going to repeat.
Right.
But like every, it's just really, it just shows the disingenuity. Is that a word? Anyway, you know what I mean. That people, like when people get mad at something in a Netflix special, then it's like they just pretend like they don't know what a joke is at all, or the concept of it. But then when on that podcast clip, which is something like, how long's the podcast? Like an hour or 2 hours?
Hour,
does it come out like every week?
Used probably to. Yeah.
So that's like a Netflix special is something that most people have spent like at least a year on and doing it night after night, and they wrote it down and they performed it and they did it once and it got a reaction and they said that was good, and then they did it again the next night, and there's a whole process there, and like there is structure to it, but like you go further and further down the chain from Netflix down to, in which even a Netflix isn't the same as a TED talk where like this is my opinion that I want to put out into the world. It's about getting a laugh. But then like you go down and like maybe like just a show that you're headlining on the way to recording a special has a different expectation, you're still working on it, and then like maybe just like a 15 or a 30 minute spot somewhere that people bought tickets for, and then like down to like an open mic level thing where you still thought about it and like this is what I'm going to talk about tonight. But then like a podcast is at the very bottom of that, and that style of podcast, which those 2 minutes and a couple other clips are all that I've heard, but that seems like a typical comedian hangout podcast where it's just
through two mentally ill people throwing a bunch of noodles into the air and hoping something nooders and hoping it'll
stick. Like it's a different thing, and that's, we're in a society now where having a podcast is a way that, like, having a podcast got Shane Gillis on that stage at Clusterfest to some extent, and eventually led to getting the offer for Saturday Night Live. And it's something that people want. They want to, just the conversations that comedians have always been like that. Like I said, you and I have had conversations that are just as bad as that.
Oh, it's probably worse, yeah.
But, and, like, I wouldn't want to record those conversations and put them out on the internet.
I've recorded each and every one of them.
Because I probably wouldn't lose my job if I got caught saying something on a podcast.
Don't go into work tomorrow, John, by the way.
But like, before, like, the past decade, those comedian conversations have been happening for as long as stand-up has been happening, and it's only recently that somebody was like, hey, we should record this and put it out, and that's something that can be done now. And so, but to hold it, and again, the actual things, statements in isolation, it's hard to defend. But
what, like, do you have to defend? Two people having a conversation?
Well, I know, there's nothing to defend. If this was a thing that they were saying and like meant it to their core and weren't just messing around, like, I don't know.
It's obvious they don't. They're having a conversation. What do you mean meant it? They meant that they were having a conversation about about an experience that they had. This is absurd. The idea. This is not just comedians that have conversations. Everyone has conversations. Yeah. The reason why people listen to podcasts like that is because people have conversations like that. It mimics the kinds of real life interactions
that people
have.
That happen when you're not looking over your shoulder and worried that you're getting tattled on.
I don't. I say it loudly. I actually say it over the PA speaker at work, actually.
Yeah, but you're a POC. You've got a bit more leeway than the rest of us do. But
I actually disagree. I think, I think this is for different reasons. I actually think that it's a good thing that he didn't get the SNL. I think he is much better off without SNL. And SNL is,
that's a stretch.
SNL is a dying beast that is not interesting to anyone who really likes comedy.
Nobody's career ever took a nosedive because they got cast on Saturday Night Live. It's only as bad as the
all
show
of
is,
the people who you
it's
like.
Still something that would get his name out there. There are garbage comedians who can still fill a room and sell tickets because they can say that as a credit.
The kind like, of comedy like, that he does is sure. much better off without the added burden of having to save face for the bozos that watch SNL. It is just...
But that's the thing. If he didn't have to save face, if he could do the Saturday Night... Like, he's not going to have that conversation. That podcast clip is not going to be a Saturday Night Live sketch. But if... They could say, like, we're hiring you to do this thing, and he does that thing. It gets his name out there. There's, like, the, who's, Jim, whatever, Goat Boy?
Huh?
What
are you talking
about? What's his name? He was in Half-Baked.
Florentine?
No.
No, Brewer.
Yeah, Jim Brewer. Like, I haven't seen him do stand-up, but I don't know. I'm guessing he's not great at it.
No, he's good.
Is he? Okay.
Brewer's good.
All right. I put my foot in my mouth. But I've seen Chris Redd, who's a current staff, who's a current cast member on Saturday Night Live. I've seen him. I saw him at Just for Laughs last year, and it was okay. But he's on that show, so he's automatically like a headliner, and he will sell out a weekend if he does a tour.
It's good to just get the money from a corporation. Listen, I'm not, you know, from a mindless beast like NBC. Yeah. But as far as actually being creative, and I'm so surprised that Michael Che can still be so funny as funny as he is while still being on SNL.
Yeah. Well, and
literally, there's no one else that's as funny.
He may have found a way to... I wouldn't say he would be like his true self fully, but there's a way that you can fit within the parameters of.
By the way, Michael Che has been on the Legion of Skanks a whole bunch of times, and he's been hilarious on it.
I'm surprised that like Che, I don't know if they've been on the same episode or not, but he's in the crew. I'm sure Michael Che knows who Shane Gillis is, and like I'm sure somebody was like, hey. Do we need to worry about this guy?
It's not even... I don't think it's even SNL's fault. I think it's the fault of the general... just the general pylon that happened over...
No, I think Saturday Night Live, I think they made... I don't like it, but it's the right decision for them.
And it's the right decision for Shane Gillis because he's much better
off. That's a show that their general person that they're going to doesn't like Shane Gillis anyway. No. It may have broadened their audience having a different type of thing, but that's just, that depends how much of him got through anyway.
Real comedy is only happening at the fringes, man. These people are just like, this is just mainstream dog shit comedy.
I think if they just ignored it and put him on anyway, it probably would have done the organization more harm. So that's the way to go. But just the whole idea of anybody thinking that this guy's an actual problem is just mind-blowing to me.
Well, there's also something very sort of sad about it because that he's just a... There's no... people can't hide behind the fact that, you know, when they're going after, say, someone like a Burr or a you know, Chappelle or someone else or a Seinfeld, you can hide behind, oh, it's a rich guy, so I can just destroy this person's life with impunity, just say whatever the hell I want about him.
Yeah.
Without worrying about the consequences, because hey, he has money, this guy will be all right. Shane's not that guy.
Yeah,
you know, Shane's just a dude.
Yeah,
he's just a 31-year-old. Yeah. He's a kid. He's younger
probably,
than me, and
he's
sleeping on a couch.
He makes less money than we do,
probably, man. And it's just, you know, having what is the New York Times doing writing about something like this? Do they have no? There's a war happening. You know, there are oil fields happening
there
on fire in Saudi Arabia.
Causing actual harm beyond saying some words into a microphone. One last thing I wanted to touch on before we got 10 minutes left. What do you think about the Andrew Yang, the Democratic presidential nominee? He's an Asian guy.
Yeah.
He's come out.
I like Yang. Yeah.
Said, or what was, he talked about how kind of we're a bit too vindictive.
We're a punitive society,
and we need to,
I agree.
You know, look at, and he said, like, it should be taken in the context, this guy's a comedian.
It wouldn't matter even if it was the actual, it would not matter, because this is not about protecting the feelings of, you know, Asian people or people of color.
Yeah,
like,
well,
the people
I
who white
that,
knight from people of color.
There's other clips that came out that I never heard. I just read the typed word version of it, where I think he actually called Andrew Yang something that involved the C word. possibly also the, by the F
way,
word.
By the way, Yang himself makes fun of his own ethnicity in his own, you know, in his campaigns. And Asian people go after him saying that you shouldn't say those jokes, even though, you know.
Well, so I'm any politician saying anything, I question their motives anyway. I don't know much about him other than that he's running to be president, so I assume he's inherently a bad person. but just anybody that's, I think this is a bit of a calculated political move where it's just to set himself apart from the other kind of lunatics that most normal people probably think are a little bit too far on the left. So to have one guy come out and say something shockingly reasonable, I think may set him apart from the pack. But he still makes a good point. I said the same thing about Louis. Like, I still think what he did was bad, but, and as you know, as, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, as much as I agree with some feminist things, my tactics, what I want to do about the things that I may agree that certain things are a problem, but what we're going to do about it, I diverged a lot from the super woke internet. And I think
you still have a little bit of Christianity left in you. We can still forgive people. Yeah. And it's just
like there needs to be
decency.
And I don't know if anybody's calling for Shane Gillis to not even be allowed to do stand up anymore, which I'm not going to be surprised if it could go either way. People know who he is now, so on the one hand, that might make him more bookable, but also, are people going to be showing up and protesting and complaining? I don't know. But we need to start having a conversation where if somebody does something that is, even if it is genuinely a bad thing, there needs to be a conversation had about, okay, so how do, if somebody wants to make up for it, I think it would be hilarious to have Shane Gillis sit down with this dorky politician.
Yes, I would like
and
to have
and learn a thing or two about this is how you should do comedy.
I would definitely like to have a conversation. So ladies, please DM me of just pictures of yourself in yoga pants, maybe. But I definitely, like, we could start off with a conversation like that and then sort of build into.
But it's,
is that the kind of conversation you mean? Or?
No, we're stuck on, like, both crazy ends of the spectrum are both stupid. Like, I don't want to be the completely anything goes, who cares, shut up, you're dumb. Like,
yeah.
Or like I tell you all on the on the other side is, so you said a bad thing, and this one I can't even say it was a long time ago. This was like within the last year that most of the
even if he had said it yesterday, it wouldn't have been a problem. I don't.
But at least have a discussion about what the problem is and try to get some more insight. Do you actually?
They're cosplaying outrage, man. Yeah. They don't. They're cosplaying outrage. This is not. None of this is real. You understand? It has real world consequences, but their outrage isn't real. They're lying.
Yeah. Well, even something like remember on the Louis TV show where they had the scene where they're playing poker, and I forget the guy's name, but he explains to Louis what's wrong with saying the word faggot.
Rick Chrome is his name. Yeah,
and like that kind of thing is the discussion that we should be having, where it's not like you're a bad person and you're a homophobe because you said the word faggot. But he had the conversation like, you do what you want, but I just want you to know that when I hear that word, this is how it makes me feel. And that puts it on them to say, like, that's a much more reasonable thing. Like, you say what you want, but just know that when you say things like this, this is how you're making
me feel.
What if
you say it to your mirror every morning?
Yeah, well, that's fine. Then you can have a conversation with the mirror. Be like, you know, it really hurts my feelings when you call me this. But just making everybody more aware of the impact of the things that they say is a much better tactic than just, oh, you've screwed up, see you later. Just that kind of thing. Because that's the most liberal position that you can take for actual crimes. Nobody on the left would be arguing that, like, you steal something and you should have life in prison or the death penalty or something. Like, you go and you serve your time and you come back. like even murder, you can get out of jail eventually and you serve your time. It's not good. I think if you're coming out of jail after being in there for 30 years, it might be hard to find a job. And you know, it fails miserably, but at least on paper, our whole criminal justice system is supposed to be to make up for the bad thing, not to punish you. And well, I think people get that mixed up. People are pretty gleeful about like, oh yeah, he's going to go to jail and I hope he gets raped and all that stuff, which is a punitive model, which doesn't do anybody any good. And that's,
you've been getting my messages then.
Yeah. And that's why, and it doesn't work. That's why you send somebody to jail for a minor drug offense and you tell them, well, you're screwed now. You're on a list. You can't get certain jobs and you're going to go in there and you're being put with the worst of the worst and you're going to learn bad things and you're going to come out probably worse off than when you went in. And that's the same kind of thing when you get comedy banished, then you're just going to get stuck in the corner with maybe some other people that actually are bigots. I don't know. That's not going to happen here. But if they sent Shane Gillis out to Bigot Island,
the Gulag,
for 5 years, he'd probably
PEI?
He'd probably come back maybe a little bit more actual racist than he was when he went there.
Listen, it's not going to happen. He's not a racist. He's not going to turn into a racist. None of this is going to happen. Shane Gillis is going to be fine. SNL is going to be in the toilet. It always was. And these people are just going to continue to just take whatever. They're just going to take each other down and turn on each other eventually. This is great for Shane. It sucks that he lost her revenue. But I think the fact that it happened, the sort of hypocrisy and lies of
it's free advertising hall monitors. For his podcast.
These people are hall monitors. You have to understand, these people are going after him. These are those, you know, those kids in high school who are like, what are you, I'm going to tell the teacher, I'm going to tell everyone what you did. That's what these people are. All right.
I'm just wondering, like, the normal person who isn't a blogger and isn't a comedian.
They don't care.
If you play that clip, is a normal person going to be like, oh, that dude's racist? I don't think there's such a thing as a normal,
we're all normal people. First of all, consider myself a comic.
Take away the context.
I fix computers for a living.
All of the podcast appearances where we've heard Shane Gillis endear himself to us. And we don't know what a podcast is. We don't know stand-up comedy. If you take out all of that backstory, does it still, even in that case, I'm not sure if, does that play as this guy hates Asian people? Like, I don't think so because I
walk around IT and there's a, you know, the freaking Asian jokes fly all the time. Oh, Frank, you got the noodles again. Yeah. Oh, Frank, what are you having, some broccoli? You know, what's up, RF? Oh, geez, where's that smell coming from? You know, fine.
Racist, this isn't stopping the racism. If he was racist, this would make him dig in his heels and be like, see, those people are trying to shut me down.
They don't care about racism, dude. What do you think, these woke scores care about racism? The whole point is to scold, is to find the heretic. They don't care about, you know, environmental issues or any of this stuff that goes on this stuff has nothing to do with any of those actual issues. They're cosplaying outrage. That's it.
All right. We've got to cut it off. We're at the end. RF Hussein, do you have anything to plug? I don't have anything.
Oh, it's just four-story walk-up, and there's a show at the St. John Marina that I'm a part of on Friday.
I'll put it in the comments on the podcast. Anyway, that's the show. Good night.